Loving Father, we pray that you would speak to each one of us, old and young, today through your word, the Bible. Amen. Well, questions, praising, and tears. Well done for holding up those signs. There were one or two of you who were listening particularly well. And this was the first ever Palm Sunday, and there was a great big fuss going on. Now, children, I don't know whether your mum or dad ever say, "Why are you making such a fuss?" Does anyone ever say that? "Why are you making such a fuss?" Put your hand up if you had that this morning. Okay. Well, do you know what? The grown-ups that first Palm Sunday were making such a fuss. Some were throwing down their cloaks. Verse 36 of the passage there. Some were just throwing down their coats, not because they couldn't be bothered to hang them up, but because they were so excited. Some were waving palm branches and singing out in the streets. Verse 37. Some of them were getting really cross. Verse 39. And there was even some crying. Like a bit like a football game. There were some who were going, "Yeah!" And there were others who were going, "No!" Now, just as we come into this passage, it's worth knowing that Jesus Christ always creates a strong reaction. Okay, if we don't have a strong reaction to Jesus, it's because we haven't really met him. Or we're not really engaging with the real Jesus Christ properly at the moment. Because Jesus, as he went into Jerusalem, children, some people either praised him, "Yeah!" And others, "No!" No one was just like some folk are today. "Well, you know, I sort of respect Jesus. I don't live for him or worship him, but he's kind of interesting." No, there was a great fuss being made. And I want us to see why that is. And here's the first point. You can see it on the screen. King Jesus brings hope. Can you say that with me? King Jesus brings hope. Very good. Now, verse 28 of the passage, as we look down, Jesus was going to Jerusalem. That was the city of the king, where great kings like King David and Solomon had lived in happier times. And children, I wonder, did you notice, did Jesus travel on a big, powerful tank like this? No, absolutely not. Did he travel in a golden carriage? No. Although we do have a princess here today, which is just beautiful. But actually, King Jesus didn't travel in that. You might have done today. Did you come to church in that, Millie? Well, Jesus didn't. Did he travel on a powerful charger, charging into all his enemies? A great big horse? No. He came coming on a donkey, didn't he? Can anyone give me a really loud Eeyore? Very good. Jesus came on a donkey. And when the owners asked the question, "Why?" Can anyone hold up that question mark? When they asked why, the answer they were given is, "The Lord needs it. The Lord needs it." And that reminded me this week that anything I have and everything I have belongs to Jesus. How can I use my time, my money, my house, my toys for Jesus? The Lord needs it. Now, a donkey was a very gentle way to travel and a very humble way and quite slow as well. Clip-clop, clip-clop, clip-clop. It was quite slow. But it was also what God had promised that his great king would come riding. So Zechariah, 400 years before, Zechariah the prophet had said, "See, your king comes gentle, riding on a donkey." And so the people were like, "This is God's king. He's coming along the road, the one that God had promised, that we've read about, that we've waited and we prayed for all these long years. Yes, he's come." And here he is coming down the road, clip, clop, clip, clop, clip, clop. So do you know what they did? Do you remember what they did in the story? Imagine Jesus was coming through here and they started to throw down their coats to make a path for him all the way along. And children, I just wonder, as they put their coats down and Jesus' donkey went clip-clop over them, do you think some of the coats might have got a bit damaged? I think so. Do you think that some of the coats might have got a bit of donkey poo on it? Do you think so? I think so. Do you think they cared? No, because God's great king was coming. They wouldn't have cared at all. Now, what excited them most is there in verse 37, adults, as we have a look down. Verse 37, the miracles that they had seen Jesus do. Now, many stories and films are told about great kings, like King Arthur or King Aragorn, or messiahs and Marvel heroes who are going to come and put things right for us, to fight evil and to bring peace and happiness and hope and healing. Goodness me, our world needs that. There are lots and lots of sad things in our world. We need a great king. But of course, these are just stories, and most human leaders fail terribly. But Jesus, they had seen with their own eyes, could do miracles. They'd seen sick healed, the sad made happy, the lost found, the trapped set free, the friendless were befriended, the outcasts were brought in, the downcast were lifted up, the empty were filled up. Even Jesus' enemies couldn't deny these amazing miracles. And so why all the fuss about Jesus? Because the king coming down the road that day, clip-clop, 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 brings hope. The king brings great hope. And you know what? Jesus Christ, as he comes into our lives today, brings hope to us as well. Now, what is hope? Well, children, hope is a little bit like this balloon. Okay? It lifts us up. Hope lifts us up when we're feeling heavy. So we're feeling quite worried. I'm feeling quite sad. I'm feeling, and then hope lifts me up right up here. So I'm feeling quite sad. And then what does hope do? Hope lifts us up. Now, adults, I wonder today whether you know anything of the hope that Jesus Christ brings to us. Many are the things that are heavy and worrying and sad in our lives that are beyond us and that are beyond any other human hope and help. But nothing was beyond King Jesus. And though the hope that Jesus brings is actually mostly for the future, so have a look back at verse 11 of our passage. Okay, the people thought that the kingdom of God was going to appear at once. And we can wrongly expect full health and happiness now as we follow Jesus. But Jesus never promised that. But when he comes again, he will lift us up fully. He will wipe away every tear. He will mend every brokenness in our lives. And he will bring in a perfect new world. His miracles were a pointer. His empty tomb is the proof for us. So do we know anything of this hope that Jesus brings? I was thinking about it actually because this balloon is actually a little bit empty. It's running out. And maybe that's just how a few of us feel today. We don't really have very much lightness and much lift and hope in our lives. We need topping up. So if that's us, here's a little prayer from the Bible that we could use. And it goes like this. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Jesus, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the first thing that the king brings. King Jesus brings hope. And we're going to take a quick pause and sing about his great power. So let's all stand and there's some great actions for us to sing. Hope. And secondly, King Jesus demands our praise. Can we all say that together? King Jesus demands our praise. Very good. Now, Matthew and Mark mentioned particularly those palm branches, and it wasn't it quite fun earlier just to parade those around, the palm branches, but Luke focuses in on the praise that day. So verse 38 of our passage, blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord, a peace in heaven and glory in the highest. That sounds like an echo, doesn't it, of the angel's song at Jesus' birth. And the people were out in the streets singing their hearts out. Be quite a fun thing to go and do, wouldn't it? That day. They were out in the streets singing and praising. And the Bible says it was in loud voices. But verse 39, there were some grumblers there that day. The Pharisees, who were the very religious people. And they said to Jesus, "Rebuke your disciples. Tell them off, because they're getting carried away. They're treating you, Jesus, like you're God. Tell them to stop." And Jesus says this. He says, "If they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. For creation knows who I am, even if you don't," says Jesus. Now, sometimes people like Muslims and Jehovah's Witnesses say that Jesus never actually said that he was God. But to accept worship like this is to claim to be God. No angel ever did that. And verse 44, just in case you're not sure today, verse 44, Jesus says, "You did not recognize the time of God's coming to you." Now, we could spend our lives making a great fuss about all sorts of things that we think are important, but they will never be anywhere near living and praising God himself. And that is why we sing to Jesus. One of my favorite crafts, children, that I think Janet Bradley taught you last year. Does anyone remember this? Can anyone see this? Is anyone still with me at all? Tabitha, do you remember this? Charlie? Not many people remember. It's a stone with some googly eyes singing. And that's what Jesus said, isn't it? If you keep quiet, the stones will cry out. Perhaps this is just a word for some of us who are here and we come kind of week by week, but we don't sing. Maybe because we don't like singing. Maybe because we feel we can't sing very well and we'd be putting other people around us through something pretty difficult. And you think, well, they've come out on a Sunday morning. I don't want to do that to them. Maybe because we're worried about what other people think. Goodness, I hope we don't feel like that. And that's not the sort of church we are, friends. Maybe because you don't know many of the words. Or you've just got out of the habit. Well, Jesus says to us, we are to praise him. For if we don't, the stones will cry out. And he doesn't mind at all whether we sing in tune. So maybe just a little word for some of us who just never sing. We've got to sing. And maybe just a little challenge to those of us who never open our mouths in witness as well. This week's a great week, isn't it? Just to speak a little word for Jesus. What's Easter all about? Would you like to come along? And Jesus says, if we don't do that, the stones will cry out. Of course, our lives must match our lips in praising Jesus. We sing today. Will we sin against Jesus this week? Well, that in fact is exactly what the people did. Singing his praises, later on calling for his blood. But the king demands our praise. Now, I've got one more point for us, but I'd like to give us, our children, a little biscuit break. And I'm going to put some adults in charge of the biscuits, okay? And I'm going to put Ellie in charge. And I'm going to put Kate in charge as we come into our last point. The king brings hope. The king demands praise. Here's the last thing, just for all of us this morning. The king sheds tears. And this is a part of Palm Sunday that I don't think I've particularly thought about before. We don't normally focus on, but verse 41 of the passage there. As Jesus approached Jerusalem, and it seemed like a really happy time, and there's the waving of the branches, and there's the coats going out. As he approached Jerusalem, and he saw the city, this city that God had set his love on through centuries and sent his prophets to, he wept over it. He wept over it. Now, kings don't normally cry in public, do they? They don't normally do that. And so if you're here and you just think that this Jesus that we're talking about is just like any other leader that you've come across, would you just pause on those words? The king, he wept over them. Why did he do that? Because Jesus was so invested in them. Because he so cared for them and he saw them in trouble. They were his people. Isn't it a precious thing when someone comes alongside you in some sadness or struggle of yours and sheds some tears with you? It's quite a rare thing, isn't it? It's a precious thing. Well, friends, God himself did that. Jesus is God, come from heaven into this world of tears, and he comes shedding tears with such concern for us, with such love. Now, sometimes people say to me, look, I'm really not that bothered about God. And just occasionally, I'm bold enough to say, well, he is bothered about you. See Jesus Christ here, looking on people and weeping. He is bothered. And Jesus wept because of what he saw in them, that they were not okay. They might have seemed okay on the outside. They were a very religious kind of city. But most of that religion was completely empty. Their lives were filled with all sorts of things that could never satisfy them. And they were lost. So that although they're shouting Jesus' praises on that day, just a few days later they would be shouting for his blood. That's how lost they were, that they wanted to kill God out of their lives. And Jesus Christ doesn't cry for himself. He cries for them. Because he knew that turning from God would mean eventually God having to turn from us. I've got a couple of chairs here. And the Bible says that we were made to be face to face with God. And we were made to be face to face with God. And that is, if you wonder what the meaning of your life is, that's what it is, to know God that closely. But as we turn away from him, he cries out to us again and again, turn back. The Bible says that as we get to the end of our lives, one day God will decide to turn away from us quite fairly. Quite fairly. And that is what's being described in these last verses here, as in AD 70, the Romans turned up and destroyed Jerusalem as God turned away from them and not a stone was left on top of another. Now, if you struggle with this idea of God's judgment, which we all do, see there that as Jesus is talking about it, at the very same time he's doing that, he's weeping. He's weeping. And know that in just a few days' time, Jesus wouldn't be just shedding his tears for them, but he'd be shedding his own blood for this very city. On the cross, as Jesus died, we've got those little, has anyone got a palm cross they can give me just so I can hold one? Thanks, Tabitha. On the cross, as Jesus died, he took all the rejection and the sin of the city of Jerusalem and of the world on himself. And Jesus had God, the Father, turn his back on him. And Jesus was forsaken that we can be forgiven and set free forever. Now, we're going to be thinking about this a lot more on Friday at 10:30. So if you wouldn't normally come to the Good Friday service, please come. If you don't understand the cross, please come and hear more. And each day this week, I'm producing a very short video reflection, which you'll be able to get through the email, which will just keep us close to the cross this week. As we close, I just want us very briefly to reflect on Jesus' tears. It's helpful to have some tears being shed, isn't it? But can we just in our mind's eye picture Jesus weeping? What impact will that have on you today? If you're not yet a Christian here today, it's just so nice to have you with us. We're so glad to have you coming and joining us. I hope you can see why we love Jesus here and why we trust him. If you'd like to read a little bit more about him, there are these booklets by the door that Derek's very helpfully given to the church. If we are a Christian, this is the God that we follow, isn't it? It's the God we follow. Won't you follow him with more? More of your heart. More of your strength. If you sometimes feel or fear that all of this is just too big a deal for Jesus, like we, you know, as a church, do we make too much of a fuss? Are we a bit too into him? No way. Not even the least. If we don't cry out, the stones will. Now, children, you've done really well. I've got one last thing for you. That day, some people said yes to Jesus. Some people said no to Jesus, didn't they? Some people said yes, some people said no. And so just as I pray now, it might be that as we put our heads in our hands or we close our eyes, it might be some of us want to actually just put a little thumbs up and say yes to Jesus. Have any idea? But do we want to say no to Jesus, or do we want to today say yes to Jesus? Well, there's a little opportunity just as we close. Let me pray. Let's all bow our heads, shall we? And let's pray. King Jesus, our King, we set our hope on you for our lives and for our world. We sing our praises to you, and we know that whatever we do for you, you do far more for us. You shed your tears and your blood for us. And so we say, Jesus, have more of our lives. Amen. Amen. Let's go back to our seats, shall we, for our final song, and then a chance to go through for tea and coffee. Let's